We're thankful to have Brother Andrew Mueller with us from Mansfield, Ohio, to serve. Let's all keep him in prayer as he would divide God's word to us this morning.
Good morning. Before we open the word, let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful we can gather here on this beautiful day, Lord, that we can see thy creation all around us, Lord, with the changing leaves and the vibrant colors, Lord, and the warm colors. We are reminded of the warmth in our hearts, of the love of Jesus Christ that fills us, and we're thankful for that, Lord. And we pray that thou wouldst be with us as we look into thy word today, Lord, that thou wouldst help us have understanding, Lord. We pray that it would speak to our hearts. Father, we pray that thou wouldst help us, Lord, have a focus on thy word and help us have our hearts be open and receptive to the Spirit, Lord. We pray for those who have hard hearts here this morning, perhaps, Lord, that thou wouldst help open those as well, Father, that they may be receptive to thy word, to the gospel, Lord. And we ask that Jesus Christ would touch and fill their hearts, Lord. We pray for those who are unable to be here today, Lord, but who have a desire to be here. We ask that thou wouldst visit and uplift them as well, Father. And we just thank thee now for this opportunity that we have to freely worship thee, freely learn, freely read thy scriptures. And we pray that we can continue to do so, Father. And we pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thankful to be here in your midst. And I appreciate your continued prayers throughout the morning. I'd like to turn this morning to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10. St. Mark, chapter 10. I'd like to read, beginning with verse number 45.
Brati naša, da se čita uz Božju pomoć iz Svetog Evanđelja po Marku 10. glava od 45. stiha i nadalje.
St. Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 45, and I'd like to read through the remainder of that chapter. First verse is Jesus Christ speaking, continued from earlier in the chapter. It says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading. As we look at this account in the Gospel of Mark, it's also recorded in Luke 18, so I might be referencing that occasionally as well. But somewhat of a familiar account, probably to many of us. A lot of times, I know for me, I just kind of look at the basics of it, the healing of the blind man, and the miracle that was done, and kind of move on. I'd like to this morning kind of break this down a little more into detail and see how it applies to us and to how those of us who have gone through our conversion, how we can look back and perhaps recognize some of the things that took place here. And for those who have not yet started their relationship with Christ, maybe you can relate to this as well. So, you know, in the Bible, there's a lot of parallels that have been given to us to help explain things, help us understand things better. And the interesting thing I find here is this is not a parable that has been given to us to teach us lessons. It's a real-life account that happened, but there are a lot of parallels in it to us that we can relate to. And just want to look and see, you know, we've all can relate here. We've all been in a similar situation in our lives where, you know, we've been sick, needed healing, needed help, have reached out to someone, have gone to a doctor for healing. And so hopefully we can relate there and look and see how the gift of salvation is not too different than other experiences that we've had in our lives. So the first verse that we read in verse 45, Jesus Christ talking and talking about, you know, why he came to this earth, why he's here, why he came from his throne. It says, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And we know that Jesus is talking of the foreshadowing of giving his life, dying on the cross, shedding his blood for us so that we may be saved from our sins and forgiven and have salvation through Jesus Christ, through that gift of grace. And that was at the end of him speaking previously, and it shares here that they're moving on to Jericho, and they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And I'm sure we've all seen beggars before. Maybe some have been in a situation of begging before ourselves for different things. And in the scriptures, we read of different ones that were had these sicknesses, had blindness, were lame. We read in Acts chapter 3 where the lame man was waiting by the gates, and Peter and John had walked by, and he had pleaded out to them for money. And, you know, Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but what gift does he give? He says, rise up in the name of Jesus Christ and walk. And he was healed. And was given a much greater gift than money that day. And we read also some verses here in Matthew 9, verses 10 through 13. It says, and it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Right? We don't often go to get help if we're feeling well. We don't often go to the doctor's office just for fun. But when there's needs, or when our children have needs, that's when we take them. And that's the purpose of a physician, is to help give guidance. And for the great physician here, Jesus Christ, is to heal those that are sick, to help those that are lost. And that was his mission. That's why he was here. And we also read in Matthew chapter 11, verse 5, Jesus, in verse 4, he told him to go tell John about the things that are happening, that they've been seeing and hearing. In verse 5, he gives a summary. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. So talking about the physical healing and spiritual healing that's taking place. And we know that much of that was done. Many were brought to Christ for these reasons. And again, we see what Christ's mission was here, and what our mission as believers should be here as well, working for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So we see blind Bartimaeus is in this state. Can't see, can't help himself much, may not have many that do help him, and he's reaching out, he's begging for healing, and to anyone that's walking by, he's looking for some method of help. And maybe at this case, this time, willing to take any method. And sometimes we reach out to people, and maybe even in dangerous situations or to dangerous people that, and sometimes, you know, when we're lost, we're enticed by things that Satan has to offer us that seem like it's going to help us. But it's always temporary and can even be used in trickery to make it seem like it's helpful to us, to draw us in. But only true healing and true help comes from Jesus Christ, and those that have the intentions and the motives of Jesus Christ driving them. So we have this visual where we can picture Bartimaeus sitting on the side of the road, blinded and begging, and probably many people just walking by, not helping out, like the story of the Good Samaritan, where a few walked by, didn't help, but then there was the Good Samaritan that helped him that was sick, and even did so much as to take him somewhere and to say, you know, I'll pay for whatever he needs. You know, I'm not, at that time, couldn't stay there with him, but saying, kind of put it on my tab, I'll be back, and whatever he needs to be made whole and to have help, I'll take care of it. And the love and passion that we see of Jesus Christ working through somebody as well should be inspiring to us and reminding us of what our mission is and how we can be used here in this world. And we see some kind of a change in Bartimaeus's his demeanor, or just seeing what happens here. It says in verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth that was coming, what did he start? He wasn't just begging anymore, please help me. He began to cry out. To cry out because, and saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He heard it was Jesus. He must have heard about him, knew, had heard some things that Jesus had done, or otherwise he wouldn't know that, who Jesus was or what he was capable of. But he had heard about Jesus, and the word was spreading. People had been talking about him. But we see the excitement and the hope that had filled Bartimaeus. And when he realized Jesus Christ was nearby, he realized he had access to Jesus Christ, who is coming down the road and going to be nearby. And he changed. He wasn't just doing his normal begging. He started crying out and had that excitement. Somebody finally is here that can help me, that can heal me, a Savior. And we may remember, those of us that are believers, have committed our life to Christ, we may remember that moment where we were reaching out, looking for help. We felt lost, felt blind, looking out for help and asking maybe other people, maybe asking our friends at school, those that work with us, you know, I need help. Maybe thinking if we're asking for money, that will help us, whatever it might be. But that moment when we realize that Jesus Christ is the one that we need to reach out to. And how did it change our demeanor when we were looking for help? We began to cry out to Jesus Christ, to recognize, Jesus, I need you in my life. I recognize this is the only way that I'm going to get that help that I need, the help that's actually going to save me eternally, not just temporarily. And we can see that in Bartimaeus here. Visually, we can see this and recognize, and he cried out. He took action. He didn't just wait for Jesus to walk by and hope that Jesus would just take care of everybody that he walked by. He had that faith. He took action and reached out to Jesus Christ and called out to him, and he acknowledged that he needed help. And that's an important step in the unbeliever's life, in the sinner's life, to acknowledge that we need help, that we can't take care of our sin on our own. We need to acknowledge that we're lost, acknowledge the state we're in, humble ourselves as Bartimaeus did here, and cried out for help. You know, when we think of a child that's, for those of us that have children, there's times where our children cry out to us, maybe in the middle of the night from across the hall, ask if they have a bad dream, or maybe if they get lost in a setting, or even if something just happens and we're there, and they're humbled, then they lose all pride and just cry out for mommy or daddy. Right, and sometimes us as parents, we're like, shh, you know, you're getting a little loud. People are starting to look at us. It's going to be okay. We'll take care of it. And we see the same thing happen to Bartimaeus here. He was crying out with no embarrassment, and he may have heard of these promises that are shared in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus says himself, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Bartimaeus might have been told this by someone else, saying, I heard Jesus say these words. If you ask him for the help, you will receive it. If you call out to him, if you knock on the door of Jesus Christ, he's willing to open himself to you. And Bartimaeus does that here. Says, I'm giving everything up. I'm going to call out. I'm going to cry out to Jesus because I know these promises were given here, and I know finally somebody here that can heal me. And not only does he just cry out and say, please help me, what does he do? He acknowledges who Jesus is. He says, Jesus, thou son of David, going back, marking out the lineage of where Christ has come from, the prophesied Jesus Christ coming from the lineage of David. And this is also, depending on who was around there, can be a bold statement to make, because there were many that opposed Jesus, opposed who Jesus said he was, opposed to others claimed that Jesus was. So this could be a risk, even saying, I believe this is the Messiah that was prophesied about. I believe this is Jesus of the lineage of David. But we have to acknowledge who Jesus is as sinners as well. You have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the one. Acts 4:12, no name under heaven whereby we must be saved other than by Jesus Christ. And we have to acknowledge that. There's no other method that we can take to be saved from our sinful state. And it's important for us, even as believers, that we acknowledge who Jesus is. Daily in our lives, we recognize who Jesus is, and that we share who Jesus is, that we proclaim the name of Jesus Christ and acknowledge the power of the name of Jesus Christ. In Philippians, we read that at the name of Christ, every knee will bow. And we've seen the power of Christ, as already mentioned, Peter and John in Acts chapter 3. Also, in following chapters, there is a lot of work that was done in Acts by the apostles. And what did they always do it? In the name of Jesus Christ. And they were put on trial. For what reason? For doing these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And they were told not to do what? Not to preach the name of Jesus Christ anymore. But how confident they were in acknowledging who Jesus was, that they were able to say on trial, and knowing probably what the consequence would be when they were told, we're going to let you go, you just can't preach Jesus Christ anymore. They didn't say okay and thinking in their mind, but we're still going to. Their response to them was, we cannot but speak the name of Jesus Christ. That's all we know how to do. After all we've seen, after the time we've spent with this man, after seeing him die on the cross and knowing he was raised from the dead and defeated death, all we can do is speak the name of Jesus Christ. And we know they were miraculously still let go. And sometimes the miracles were that the chains were broken off in the middle of the night and they were released from a prison cell. Different ways, but in all of it, they continue to preach the name of Jesus Christ and do things in the name of Christ, for they know that that's where the power resided. And we have to recognize that that's where the power resides. When we need someone, if you're sitting here today and you need a Savior, Jesus Christ is that person that can help you. We recognize that Jesus is God and Jesus was a man as God here on this earth. And it's amazing to read through the different accounts that take place, this being one of them here. And we see that Bartimaeus recognized that. He called out to Jesus Christ and said, have mercy on me. I recognize who you are. I'm professing to all those around me who you are. Please have mercy on me. And as I mentioned, those that were around, verse 48 says, many charged him, Bartimaeus, that he should hold his peace, that he should quiet down. And in the account of Luke, it even says those that went before him, before Christ, had told Bartimaeus to quiet down. So maybe this was even the disciples there that were telling him, you know, quiet down. Maybe, you know, don't bother the master. And we know that this has happened once or twice before where they kind of said, you know, Jesus is tired, don't bother him, let him be. He's saying, quiet down, you're causing a ruckus here. Maybe they were a little embarrassed. Maybe the disciples didn't see. You know, maybe they had in their mind too sometimes of, you might be a little too sick, or you're not the kind of clientele that should be around, or you're a little dirty and look like you've been sitting there begging prior for the last 20 years. Who knows? But we see that even in this moment, those that were telling him to quiet down, Bartimaeus realized and that this was his chance. Right? And there might be some of you as well that are lost, that your friends around you might be telling you, quiet down, you know, stop worrying about this Jesus. You know, it's kind of might seem kind of out there to some people. Those around us in our culture, in the community, in the world, in the media, might be telling us to quiet down. to not preach the name of Jesus Christ, not ask about Jesus Christ. No, that's not the one for you. But you have to realize in your heart, and hopefully you're being spoken to this morning by the Spirit, that Jesus is the one you have to cry out to. Don't worry about other people saying, quiet down. That's the work of the devil, telling you to be quiet, to not talk about Christ, to not seek Christ. So they told Bartimaeus to quiet down, but what did he do? It says, but he cried the more, a great deal. He cried out louder. No, Jesus, I need you. I need you to have mercy on me, please. He wasn't willing to quiet down. And why was that? Because he knew this was his one chance. He knew this was the one Messiah that was coming. And he recognized and acknowledged the power that Jesus Christ had. His hope and his need was far too great to let this opportunity pass by. And have you ever been in that moment where you felt like something was too great to pass by? You maybe went out of your comfort zone because you realized if you miss this opportunity, it wouldn't come back again or for a very long time. And you knew what the benefits would be from that. So he cried out a more. Just like those in Acts who were told not to talk about Christ, they cried out more. They preached more. We see when there was persecution, the church spread even more because they didn't run away and be quiet. Sometimes they had to flee certain cities. But as they did that, the gospel spread even more to more places exponentially. How do we turn some of these moments in our lives into ways that we can spread the gospel, into ways that we talk more, that we show our faith is greater and stronger than what others want it to be and that others expect it to be? And one of my favorite verses in this text, maybe even in the New Testament, is recognizing the love and compassion that Jesus Christ has for all of us. So we think of this account, what's happening here. Bartimaeus is yelling out, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Others are telling him to be quiet, and he won't be. And the others telling him to be quiet might be out of fear of what Jesus might think or of bothering him. And what is Jesus' response? I love these four words here in verse 49. And Jesus stood still. You know, we have to think to ourselves, again, think who Jesus is. Right? Do we ever think of, you know, royalty or some high authority that might, you know, come visit our city or our town for a town hall meeting? Or maybe it's even someone in your workplace. Maybe it's your boss, the CEO, or the owner of the company from overseas is visiting or something. And they're walking by and, you know, we might have an opportunity to shake their hand or talk to them. But a lot of times this might be expected. You know, be on your best behavior. Don't look up. Keep working. Show you're working hard. And can you imagine? And we know Jesus, the King of Kings, had a different heart, though, than most people that are in authority, that are in that high rank. And Jesus Christ is the highest ranking. But what does he do? He stood still. When we think of who Jesus Christ is, and Colossians 1:17 says, by him were all things created, by Jesus Christ. And think, what would it take for the Creator to stop moving and to stand still? What would it take? What would it take for someone who's too important to talk to most people here in our community to stop and stand still? Right? Sometimes people might be bothering us, we might think, and what does it take for us to stop and talk to them? Right? We might be too busy, have somewhere we need to be going. Maybe we think we're too important to stop and talk to certain people or to certain beggars somewhere downtown in the city or whatever it might be. We might have other things in our mind, other motives, other places to be. What does it take to stand still? For Jesus Christ to stand still, it took for one of his sheep to call out to him. And it's not even one of the best-looking sheep here, right? Maybe it's one of the dirtier sheep. A lamb that can't see. It might not seem to be good for good use for anybody else. You know, what are we going to do with this lamb here, this person? What can they provide to the community? What can they provide to the church, this person? Jesus Christ sees our hearts, sees the need, and has love and compassion for his sheep. And hearing the cries of Bartimaeus, he stopped in his tracks, and he stood still. He put everything else on hold. And why is it? Because of his mission, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. For those who are sick, who needed healing, who needed a physician, that's why Jesus Christ is here. That's why he stopped. That's why he stood still and says, what are the needs? What do you need? Why are you crying out to me? And you have to recognize, those of you here this morning that have these needs, perhaps that cry out to Christ or want to cry out to Christ or have a desire to cry out to Christ, when you do, he's going to stop and stand still and turn to you and recognize your needs and listen to you, listen for your needs, because you are his mission. Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 29, Jesus Christ speaking here, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, for very little money, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. We are so valuable. It's recognized when a small, tiny little bird falls on the ground. The hairs of our head are numbered. When a hair of ours falls, Jesus Christ knows that. And we are valued much more than the bird that falls, that he knows about. The hair that falls, much more value. And for those that are willing to confess Jesus Christ, as Bartimaeus was here, Jesus is so willing to stand still and to stop with open arms to welcome you. One thing we have to ask ourselves as well, though, that even though when we call out to Jesus Christ and recognize he stands still, how often do we stop and stand still when Christ calls out to us? When Christ asks us to do something, believers, when he lays something on our heart, we have so many asks and wants and needs that we ask for, and maybe we've gotten to a point where we expect Christ to stand still for us. How often do we stop and listen? Or how often do we go when he's directing us and leading us? Something to think about. Often, I know for me, we get in this mindset of some sort of expectations because we know of the promises, we know of the love. But what kind of love is expected from us? And just thinking about it, what kind of love should we have for Jesus Christ? After recognizing all the things that he has done and continues to do for each of us, we should have that love, that level of love for him that we're willing to stop and go whenever told, whenever asked, and whenever directed. So what did Jesus Christ do after he stood still? He commanded him to be called. He called out to Bartimaeus, or had those with him to go and get the blind man and say, come, be of good cheer. You've been chosen to come and approach Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has heard your call, and he's saying, come unto me. And he called him, and what did Bartimaeus do when he was called? Did he freeze? Did he start to question, now people are going to see me going up and talking to Jesus? No, it says he cast off his garment immediately, rose and came to Jesus. And whether this is casting off some kind of a dirty begging garment because he didn't want it to be in the presence of Jesus, or out of humility is casting off his garment, I'm not sure, but he went. You could think of him maybe as leaving all that he did have. That's probably all that he owned. Anyhow, are we willing to cast off everything when Christ calls us to come to him, to leave it behind and run to Jesus Christ, coming before him humbled, and coming to him and answering the call of Jesus Christ when he calls out to us to come to him? We need to be willing to do that. And we need to, as believers, daily be willing to cast off the things of this world and to run to Christ. So it says he rose and came to Jesus, and Jesus answered him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? He asked him, what are your needs? And again, he's giving an opportunity. Jesus Christ knows all things. He's giving Bartimaeus an opportunity to share what's on his heart, to ask, to again, to show his faith. And he's asking, what are your needs? Tell me, share with me. I want to know what the thoughts and desires are of your heart. What is your faith? And the blind man Bartimaeus says unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I want to see. He was honest, transparent with Jesus. He laid it out there before him. This is what I want. I want to see. I want to change in my life, in my body, in my sight. I don't want to be blind anymore. And what did Jesus do? Jesus granted that unto him. Said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately the man received his sight. And what does it say after that? He didn't receive his sight, go off and go say, what all can I see now? I can see. I want to go see all the sights of the world. He followed Jesus Christ. It says he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Jesus says, expressed unto him, thy faith hath made thee whole. And his faith in Christ was necessary. What's necessary for us to be saved from our sins, our spiritual blindness? Familiar verses in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith in the saving grace of Jesus Christ through his shed blood on the cross. Not of works of myself, not of works of those others that I've begged to, that have given me maybe some temporary opportunities to make me feel a little bit better along the way. Not of any of those works, but by faith through Jesus Christ and his death on the cross and the shed blood that is promised us as a propitiation for our sins, that we can be healed and saved and forgived. And he was given the healing just as we are given spiritual healing when we go to Christ and ask for that healing, ask for that forgiveness, as we are promised that forgiveness and that salvation. And it says, and he followed Jesus in the way. He lived a life committed to Jesus Christ. And the account in Luke 18, most of it's very, very similar. At the end, not only does it say he followed Jesus Christ, it says he followed him glorifying God. And what else? And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. All that witnessed this also gave praise. The testimony that has gone out, that has gone forth. And Bartimaeus here recognized his healing, recognized he received something priceless that he couldn't have gotten from anywhere else. And recognizing that, he gave his life, the rest of his life, to Jesus Christ. Followed him, glorified God, gave praise to God. And how important it is for us as well when we receive the healing through Jesus Christ. We receive our spiritual healing, that we live a life committed to Jesus Christ, to glorifying God, thanking God for changing our hearts, and being able to share that with others. When Bartimaeus goes around, they say, wow, you can see now. I thought you were begging there. What's different? Jesus Christ changed my life. Jesus Christ healed me. And that's what we need to be willing to say and to share and to give that testimony and that account. And we recognize this. We've seen, hopefully in ourselves, but also in others. There's others, maybe even growing up, our peers, we thought, that person's never going to make it. That person is too far from Christ. Even I doubt how his life's going to be changed, or I see how hard his heart is. He's never going to want to change, never going to want Jesus Christ in his life. And there's moments in our lives where we are blown away by the work that Jesus does in another soul in our midst, another soul in our family, where we had doubts. And how unfortunate that is that we doubt that. We need to recognize how many people would have thought that Bartimaeus, the beggar who's been blind for all these years, could have received his sight. We need not doubt the power and the work of Christ. We need to continue to pray that Christ can continue working in the hearts of the unbelievers. So as we look at this text here, hopefully we can see the parallels. Just kind of want to summarize them a little bit as well, so they can be in our hearts and our minds. And so if you're spiritually sick, that you can relate to these. And us as believers, that we can share this account with others. and how it might help people relate. But Bartimaeus was here. He had sickness. He was at his lowest point. He was just down to begging for help from other people. That's all he could do. He couldn't see, couldn't do much. People had to lead him there so he could beg even. And he had heard and learned of the gospel of Jesus Christ from others. He had known who Jesus Christ was. And here when Jesus Christ came, when we recognize we have access, which we all have access to Christ, we don't have to wait now to hear that there might be a time where we can pray to Christ. Christ is everywhere and always available to us. So the access that Bartimaeus had when Jesus was finally walking through his town, you have that right now in this moment because you can pray to Jesus Christ and have that access to him. Call out to him, cry out to him, humble yourselves. Don't worry about what other people might say. Don't worry about what your other friends might say. Because Jesus is here and present and waiting for you to call out to him, to knock so that he can open that door into you. Because it is a choice that he's given all of us. Nobody is forced to do this. And everybody wants a choice in everything. That's today's culture. We all want a choice. So you should be thankful that you're given a choice and not forced to do anything. But sometimes we have two choices laid before us and how obvious it seems the right choice to make. And Jesus Christ is the right choice to make. So call out to him. Fall on your knees today. Pray to him. Ask him to come in and provide healing for you and recognize that promise of healing and forgiveness that he has and acknowledge who he is, that this is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Son of David, that was prophesied about, the one and only name whereby we can be saved. Have that faith that you can be saved by Jesus. And when he calls unto you, when you recognize that Jesus is standing still listening to you because you called to him and he calls to you, a life committed to him, be willing to follow, to give all. Because of the love that Jesus Christ has, he wants to lead you in a life committed to him, a life where we can work for the kingdom of Christ. Not that we can become a slave bound to some rules and regulations, but that we want to serve the same way that Christ served us. Christ was a servant. And it talks in verse 44, Jesus Christ says, "Whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all." We need to have a desire to serve others in all that we're doing and serving Christ through that. You need to recognize that when you follow Christ, then, when you accept that healing, that spiritual healing, he's promised that you will be healed, you will be forgiven, you will continue to be loved. And all this so that, in John chapter 10, we read Jesus Christ saying, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I," Jesus Christ is saying, "I am come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly." That we can have a more abundant life than we could ever imagine being filled with Jesus Christ. And may you have the desire to do that. So as believers who are living this abundant life, hopefully this text that we read this morning will be one that we can share with others to show, to give a visual of how salvation works, how Jesus Christ has offered healing and the love that he has. My friend outside of Christ, that you may recognize how willing Christ is to heal you, how easy it is to call out to him, to fall on your knees, humble yourself before him, and maybe see the void like Bartimaeus had been missing so much in his life and reaching out to the wrong people. Perhaps you can see that void that you need to reach out to Jesus Christ and have him fill that. And may you fall on your knees today and call to Jesus Christ and ask him to come and to heal your life, to listen to his voice, so that you can have a life more abundantly here on this earth in him, serving him, but even more so then that you may also be saved from eternal death, but that you might have a life more abundantly, eternally, with your heavenly reward. May God add his blessing.
Truly, there are many parallels that we can draw from the scripture that relate to our lives, no matter what place in life we find ourselves. And it is remarkable to see that in the Gospel of Mark, which is known as a gospel of Jesus' actions, where he immediately goes from place to place and is very busy, that here, Spirit inspired Mark to record the account where Jesus stood still. And it must have made a great impression upon him to record this for us. And as Jesus stood there still, he considered the need of Bartimaeus. And he also must have considered those who would read about this, each of us, and intended for us to learn, for intended for us to see our great need, and intended for us to also follow in this example of acknowledging Jesus Christ as the King, the one to whom we go to for mercy, and the one whom we would follow for all of our lives. So may God bless his holy word as it has gone out, and that we would consider that Jesus has an intention for us, that we would learn something, that we would be changed by what we have heard, for his honor and glory. Amen.